For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to the Take Point Africa podcast. My name is Muiwa.
My name is Oluwani Premi.
And I'm Emmanuel.
So last week we were in our studio. It was fun. Sound was great. Better than that dream. And then now we're back recording remotely.
Unfortunately.
We apologized last week, but guys, if the sound is poor again, it's because we've left our studio and we're back recording remotely from home. Even though, in Nigeria, there's a partial lockdown now. People can go out, but they have to be back. They have to be
indoors. But the scare is still there.
Yeah, exactly.
We advise that if you don't have any reason to go out, just stay in your house. So the scare is still there. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's mainly of the story you published this year about social distancing advocates who is living a fake life. So on social media, he or she. All things like, oh, stay at home, don't go out, but then
like that.
They are going out like everything. This was even before the partial lockdown.
Yes.
Crazy stuff.
Crazy, yes, because everyone is looking for a way to survive now, apparently. Yeah. And choose, it appears that we have to choose the one that works for us, even though it seems unreasonable. But this person feels is the only way she can feel safe or sane, so to say. Now, so but we are not trying to advocate that you should break the rules that you are preaching, or maybe you can if you have to, because this person, I'm trying to put myself in her shoes, and like, if this is what keeps her sane, then why not? But still, she put the reason
going on social media.
Yes, she puts the reason, like, what she does helps other people to stay healthy, so in a way it sounded like a win-win. Like, so I'm winning here, so I'm giving you what you need to hear. You are winning too. So everything is just for everyone to stay sane. We just have to keep our mental sanity in check and just live through this, because this time too will soon be over. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Well, that's social media for you. Social media is where someone can be living a certain life here and then living a different life offline.
Yeah,
I've noticed that a lot of the people who are like the most passionate or savage and shouting, social justice warriors or whatever.
In real life.
When you meet them offline, they're like, they can't even talk.
Yes.
And then especially on Twitter. Especially on Twitter, it's crazy. Twitter is like a jungle.
Hmm.
It's like, I guess that's why, on Wednesday, 2 days ago, Twitter announced that they are testing a new feature where replies, where you can control who can reply to your tweets. So you can either choose everyone can reply, or only people you follow, or only people that you mention in tweets.
I don't think we saw that coming. I don't think we saw it
testing
coming.
It for online. It doesn't mean it will be a permanent feature anyway. They're just testing it.
Yes, and with the reactions
I just thought was like, all these pros are going to. They're going to reduce. They'll be seeing a tweet. They can't reply to it. They can't say this is rubbish. They can't do anything.
They can retweet now with their reply.
Yeah.
Yes. When the product leaked was trying to explain it, he said yes. Like fine, the person can't reply but can still retweet because somebody giving a feedback said raised that issue. It was like fine. At least they are not making noise in your house. They are going to make noise in their own house. So if they want to retweet and they want to rant, it will be on their own wall. instead of yours. Mm-hmm. So anyone that wants to view mm-hmm. it, maybe somebody that is looking for retweet or that quotes the retweet of that person. So it's kind of reasonable to bring that up. But
oh, yeah, no, so you can still quote the tweet even if you're not allowed to.
Yes, you can retweet the person's reply.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
But in a way, people's reaction to it was like, they're going to make Twitter boring because it's the savage replies and and the trolling that makes Twitter interesting. So coming up with something like this, they're going to bore you out. Twitter is going to bore you out now. But looking at the responses that are coming, I don't know if they're going to go with the feedback. I don't know if this is going to be eventually rolled out. Because it's not accepted in a way. It's not accepted. That's what I noticed from the responses.
Well, they are still in the testing phase. So, I mean, although I'm on the Twitter beta program, I'm not sure where it's been. I've not checked. Absence, but I don't know if the features available. But anyway, they're still in the testing phase, so it may go either way.
Speaking about Twitter and Peter, I remember they were working on the native quoted replies feature. So,
yeah, some few weeks back.
So I don't know if they're going to roll out that one anytime soon.
That one hasn't been rolled out yet, has it?
It hasn't.
Okay, so now the question is if they're controlling who can reply you normally. And they already have a native quoted replies feature. Are they trying to make people lean towards that native quoted replies feature? Maybe if, for instance, people say you want to write something controversial, you actually stop people from commenting or replying to your tweets. But the quoted
replies... But the people can still reply as quoted reply.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes. So are they trying to make that more prominent than the normal Twitter replies?
So I think like the point Nifemi made was that like they said is whether it's the native quoted reply or the one that whatever that feature, it doesn't matter. The main thing is okay, I get what you're saying, but the fact that people can see the quoted replies, they can still see any savage replies at any of those tweets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They can still see who, but then the people are still within their so if someone with a large following, for example, tweets something and then people are replying savagely on that, because of their reach, more people are going to see those people's replies. But if the person is just someone with just 100 followers and it goes to quote it, unless people go out of their way to check who quoted the tweets,
which
would like to do anyway.
I think this will also reduce the long thread of response under a tweet. Of somebody who is not even who is not even supposed to be part of the tweet. But then there's the issue raised of governments or politicians making use of it, maybe to do to do a speech or a hate speech, so to say. Then there's nobody else that can come to do a counter speech to it. Like, it's just shown out there.
And an official statement.
Yes, official statement, exactly. No feedback. Yes. And if you notice, these people that have a lot of followers, they rarely follow people. So I think it was a footballer's Twitter and that I went to the other day, and he's following nobody, and he has like a million followers. So if that kind of person should just post a tweet, you just post it and you just throw this thing into the air, and everybody will be groping in their retweet. So people are like, if you are going to roll this out, maybe you should block it from some verified accounts or politician accounts or people like Trump.
Like public figures. So
yes. Because
so there's no the feature should not be enabled for public figures.
Well, exactly. So it's been met with a lot of reactions.
Don't they also have the right to control who replies? Shouldn't they have the right to expression and not want anybody to? Well, it's public service, so it's different. Yeah, I get the point. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. But then, how do you decide who? That's not becomes a problem. Where do you decide? When you give the power to Twitter to decide who can enable that feature and who can't, is there no tendency for it to
censorship.
Not necessarily deliberately abuse, but because of a certain bias that the person who is in charge of the future might have, may end up defeating its purpose.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
So I don't think it's in Twitter. And that even takes us to the argument of should government, be the one to control speech, freedom of speech, hate speech, whether should government be saying, should government be the one to determine whether
what you say
is hate speech or not,
or what you should not say.
Hate speech. Hey, and then a lot of things are happening around Africa now.
Yeah,
Emmanuel knows a lot about that.
Okay, like, so yeah, currently now with the pandemic and everything going on currently, some African governments have started using technologies to actually monitor their citizens or trace their citizens and monitor their content online. So in Kenya, for example, Uganda, South Africa, they've employed the technology we call mobile location tracing. So there's contact tracing normally where they send the contact tracer to interview a COVID-19 patient.
For pandemic.
The contact tracer, intelligently deduces who must have been infected by that patient based on the questions or the interview they had. So now they are now using it for mobile phones. They are now tracing the mobile phones of these COVID-19 patients and to see where they went to and who could have been possibly affected by the virus there. So, but it's not raising questions of privacy. So this government, they can actually install the whole thing into a single database and they can need to cross-reference COVID-19 patients with the locations of other persons in the country. So according to the directives in Kenya, South Africa, Uganda, all telcos in the country are mandated to actually present the data of all their customers. But it's raising issues of privacy. So governments can know where I'm coming from and
Is that not kind of like the situation in China where how they even battled them? China and Taiwan and one other country, is that not how they battled the whole pandemic?
So the thing is,
people also raising same issues then.
Their good side, but there's still this skepticism with residents or citizens that people, because of the humans we are, we tend to abuse stuff like this when we are given the opportunity to. So it will still continue to arise.
Even in the case of Africa now, like Kenya, they already arrested someone for posting something about COVID-19 online.
Why?
So they are censoring people from tweeting or posting about COVID-19.
Yes, they declared the statement as false.
Fake news.
Fake news, exactly.
Fake news.
And they arrested him. Yeah. So with that kind of precedence, you now give these people the right to trace you wherever you are. That means,
and there's already the history of censoring the internet.
Exactly.
And even censoring access to the internet, like in Tanzania where you have to pay blogging license, Uganda where you have to pay social media tax, daily tax to access social media.
And
the cases of actually locking down the whole internet, shutting down the whole internet of the country.
Yeah, like Burundi yesterday, right? There was a story on Burundi yesterday.
Yes.
Where the internet was shut down because of the elections or something.
Yeah.
the excuse was coronavirus also, I think.
No, coronavirus. There was no official statement, just that the Burundians woke up one morning and social media was not working. They had to be using VPNs, virtual private networks, to access the internet.
Damn,
no official statement, nothing. In fact, a group of journalists, international journalists, actually wrote to the Burundian government, so please leave the internet on during this election because there have been issues, there have been strife, there have been violence leading up to the election. But they were like, leave this internet on, unblock some news website that you blocked during this period. And in case there will be any disruption, please inform citizens ahead. There was nothing like that. I just woke up one morning and saw that internet issue.
This is
worrisome.
It is.
And it's becoming a trend. Like, how many African countries now have shut down the internet at one point?
They're up to like
12. There's a list that you made.
Yeah, we're able to list them up.
12
yeah,
so far. Nigeria is not on the list, is it?
Nigeria is working. It's still in that part already.
is working towards.
I mean, there was the hate speech bill, social media bill last year.
Yeah,
then President Buhari refused to sign the digital rights bill, also saying it was too. What was the reason they gave again?
It was too vague. It was too vague. Clear something.
This is crazy stuff. So 12 African countries so far, and Nigeria was considering if it wasn't for the case. I mean, just earlier this year, I believe it was this year.
Yeah.
There was a hearing and the protest by a lot of advocacy groups, Paradigm Initiative, Enough is Enough. A lot of them were in Abuja protesting. All of this is
worrisome. And in a way, I feel that we are still enjoying the kind of freedom in Nigeria.
Yeah. For now,
we are not even sure how long that will last.
Yeah.
Because they have been arrested. Do you know they have been arrested? Like Abu Siko, what was his name, in 2016, that was arrested by the EFCC for...
I remember that.
For fake news or hate speech. No, yeah, he wrote a story about the EFCC, accusing the EFCC chairman, Magu, of corruption, and then was arrested. And there was a case too, just recently, either this year or last year, that was trending on social media, a journalist that was arrested. Also, and let's not forget even the more prominent one, the head of the owner of Sahara Reporters, that was
okay, sure,
presidency, and that was arrested too because of statements made on social media, all of that. So,
okay, it was
why there's no,
it still feels like
why we have never had our internet shut down, it's looking like.
And that's because
put into some countries are actually very, very terrible. Like countries like Ethiopia, they even restrict access to VPN. Like you can't even use VPN to bypass. That is how crazy it is in Ethiopia.
The funny thing about Ethiopia is some of the flimsiest reasons, like for example, exams, school exams.
Yeah, that was the reason they gave that. Ethiopia. School exams.
Like, you know, like why?
China on a jam.
Are you kidding me? Maybe because they are still doing pen and paper. Because jam is online. How we shut down the internet of a whole nation? Because they are writing exams, because you are trying to prevent exam malpractice. What is the meaning of that? Who advises these people?
Crazy.
Like, you shut down businesses. Oh, God.
And you know the interesting thing, like, I mean, TechPoint was in Ethiopia last year. Was it last year or 2 years ago? Last year, Adewale and Yinka. And they experienced it firsthand, how resilient the internet entrepreneurs have been. Despite all of this, they're like, sometimes some of them have to have a base in Kenya. So whenever, because Kenya is very close, so whenever the internet is shut down, you can just move to Kenya and do what you need to do.
Can you like, imagine? Maybe. Okay, I'm trying to understand something here. Maybe they have to realize how important how internet has become part of our lives. But I'm trying to imagine if that should happen in Nigeria. I don't know. I don't know what will happen. Because internet is now a huge part of our lives that you can't just call it like a fundamental human right. Like if so I don't know if they don't realize that it's part of the citizens' right. And they will just decide and make that decision.
Of course they do. I mean, they just... And here's the thing I always say. Like, not to sound like an apologist for governments that are trying to control social media. I can understand the fear of any government. Because government has the role to ensure safety and security and misinformation. I can understand. Because there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of actual hate speech that it's fueling a lot of violence. Very true.
Yeah, right? Sure.
So I can understand any government's fear because it makes it harder to govern the country, right? But then government, there has to be a discussion. It brings stakeholders on. Government cannot make these decisions in a vacuum or without bringing on board stakeholders.
Exactly.
You know, to discuss how this can work. There's no other way. The government cannot have all the power to... I mean, that's why we have three arms of government, for example. Where the Senate is supposed to check, the judiciary is supposed to check, and the executive. So, when the National Broadband Plan was created, Nigeria, the old one and the new one, they had to bring in stakeholders on board. So, but then trying to pass any bill, and, I mean, just wasn't it last earlier this week too, where last week we reported that was 2 weeks ago we reported that Lagos State Judiciary and apparently also in Benue, also is it Benue or Borno, they are doing remote hearings, court hearings via Zoom or Skype, and then lawmakers and legal practitioners, some are coming up to say it's illegal, it's unconstitutional. They are resisting it, but then the question, the argument is, okay, in this age of the pandemic where everybody is talking about social distancing,
how are they supposed to
for routine cases, instead of making people having to come to court and getting the place crowded, why can't they be served remotely?
Exactly.
You know, I think we had an opinion piece from policy law on our websites earlier in the week. So it's just like all of this is just confusing.
The issue you raised just now, it's highlighting a very, very bigger issue in like the social political terrain of the whole world. Like, who should be in control of information or access to information, because once it's free to air like the way it is currently, we are now seeing the abuse. But even when you bring in stakeholders, can the stakeholders accurately represent everybody that can be, that needs to be represented in a particular scenario? So you bring people from a particular company, industries, people from different industries. Now, apart from the people from different industries, you also need to consider people of different ethnic beliefs, people of different religious beliefs, people of different, the whole world is just so diverse. Like, how do you bring stakeholders to handle something as very basic as information? Now, I can understand for the broadband plan, it's a specific industry. So when you're inviting stakeholders, you know the stakeholders you are bringing. You're bringing the likes of Iman and IHS and the rest of them. But for information, where do you start bringing stakeholders from? But, is it the human rights activists that keep fighting for digital rights online, or the government that needs to protect the public good, or the citizens that want to hear their voices heard? So it's so multifaceted, and it brings a broader context about democracy, monarchy, aristocracy, many, many, many things.
So depending on your philosophy of government.
Exactly.
Aside from those Asian countries, the European countries and North America and USA, do they also have stuff like this going on?
Okay, so for
Europe.
Europe. During this COVID-19 era, some countries have actually employed this mobile phone tracing. I think Germany has employed it, and the Netherlands and a few other countries have employed the Australia too, I think. Yeah, they even tried to amend their bill, their communications bill, to actually allow them to trace the citizens' data. But for these countries, they don't have the kind of history we have in Africa.
Censorship.
Like, there has to be a way they are managing it, the hate speech and stuff like this. Aren't they enough to be benchmarked in African countries? Yes, we know we have the precedence of having hate speech and censoring like that. So, but there has to be a way they have been able to manage it. And they don't have to do that.
To be honest, I don't think they've been able to. So,
while
in Africa, for example, and Asia, the focus seems to be on the government being the one violating people's rights.
Okay.
In America, for example, it's actually the private companies. So there's a lot of Facebook, Twitter, Google. They've been very criticized about how they censor, depending on their leaning. A lot of them are always leftist leaning, so liberal leaning. And they seem to, when they censor, they seem to censor right-leaning. They seem to have a bias for censoring right-leaning opinions and perspectives. So, and they always have the excuse that, oh, this is their own privacy policy, their usage policy, whatever. But if you do a research, even in America and Europe, they are heavily criticized, the private sectors, the Facebook, the Google. So while in Africa and Asia, it's the government that is receiving all the criticism. Okay. In Europe and America, it's the private sector.
Oh, okay.
So it just shows that we just don't understand this thing. Round, it's a global problem. That's what it seems like. And I mean, that's why I remember last year when Tim Berners-Lee was in Nigeria. I hope it was last year. Yeah, the creator of the
World. Yeah, it was last year. Yeah.
Just before he came, it was even at the, I was there and he spoke. And just before then, too, he had published his whole idea, like, oh, he wants to reimagine or reimagine the web. So he admitted that the web doesn't work the way it is right now when it comes to things like access, equal access, safe spaces, freedom of speech, and all of that. He made some interesting points, but to be honest, they seem very clear and well theorized, but they seem that they'll be very, very hard to practicalize if everybody's not on board. We can put a link to that in the episode so you guys can read it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even the creator of the World Wide Web agrees that it's not working. So
it just has to be good.
I mean, we're all learning.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's another question to it. So we've talked about freedom of expression, we've talked about power being in one hand, whether it's private sector or government.
Uh-huh.
But how about privacy? We mentioned privacy before.
Yeah.
And that's another important area. And for example, like in Nigeria now, NIDA, that's our tech development regulatory body, is trying to get public data available, public sector data available on the internet, or digitized, and giving, like, there's an ultimatum, right?
Yes, 60 days ultimatum.
60 days.
Yeah, I laugh when I saw
that. So all public sector, like, so this is like parastatals and agencies and all of that, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Supposed to digitize all their data and make it open and available.
Yes. I don't think we should dispute. We don't want to lose hope in Nigeria, so let us not dispute that it's possible. but the fact that you are giving them an ultimatum of 60 days, mm-hmm. I stumbled on a reform that was planned in 2005 for
2005, national, that's 15
yes,
years ago.
Yes, National Bureau of Statistics. And
mm-hmm.
yes, they were like, most of the data of that agency are filed in hard paper. Now, that year, yes. They said,
at that time.
So they mentioned yes. like a tool they're going to start using to categorize and upload those information online. And I'm very sure if you've been to a government parastatal before and you see the way files are packed, like you can't even trace the 1980 information. So I'm wondering how they can dig up all these files and upload them online in 60 days.
I think the announcement just made to show that they are working. I'm sorry to say, but just for the sake of announcing, that's what it sounds like.
Yes, and the premise behind it was that which some African countries are using with what's it called, with phone tracking, for pandemic.
Oh, for the pandemic response.
Yes, that was the premise.
Oh, that was the premise. So why are they just making the announcement now? When the everything started like in March. Why is it just now they're making announcement?
Like, it's fact. When I saw it, I was like, please, not the ultimatum. Just say, okay, maybe you're working on it. And let's just stop at that. Please, no ultimatum.
And there's still the angle of privacy there, because
exactly.
They have the NDPR, the National Data Protection. So even if we say, okay, put all the data publicly on within 60 days,
mm-hmm.
how about the privacy of the data?
Exactly.
Yes, open data is nice and all that, but how do you ensure that private data is not shared?
Okay, the guideline that was given out claims that we employ some innovations that are used globally to ensure. Emmanuel, please.
Oh, okay.
I am vouching for my country.
Did you guys see that tweet a few days back where the Minister of Communication and Digital Economy shared a tweet where they just finished the meeting, the virtual meeting, and apparently the machines they're using were running Windows 7, which has been discontinued with support from Microsoft. And there are a lot of people, you know, there are a lot of tweets like, why is our communications agency using Windows 7 to communicate, to do virtual conferences on sensitive national matters?
Sensitive.
That it can be hacked and all of that. I don't know the story behind it. Maybe they are, I don't know. If, I don't think, when Windows 7, when Microsoft stopped support of Windows 7, I think it was both individual and enterprise, right? You did that story, didn't you?
Yes, we did. I did it, yes. Yes.
Well, I don't want to jump on what I don't know, but that sounds weird. Like
as I
so this is the same government now that is saying, mm-hmm. although it's a different agency, right? That's the communications ministry. But this is the national IT development agency saying they have an innovation they are going to use.
They are going to use. But
based on precedence, we don't trust that they do. Sorry to say, yes. We don't trust that they do.
Aside from the trust, we don't know if we have that capacity, because just to register voters, if you remember, it was hacked. Like people like I don't understand. Okay, I remember clearly that year when I was going for service, and we all trooped out to go and register, and we're supposed to get our call up letter online. That night we were supposed to wait like a day. That night a friend sent a message to me that you can now check your posting letter. I said, wow. I checked it around 1 a.m at that night, and I got my posting early that morning. NYSC released a report that their service, their this thing was hacked, and we should disregard whatever it is we have gotten. As little as that. And seriously, it was really hard. Because some people were seeing USA in their posting letter. So we believe that it was hard. Cannot even manage it well. Talk less of people's data, sensitive data, putting it in the cloud.
I don't feel confident.
And you can't even protect it. Maybe we are not there yet.
Okay, so but for the sake of giving them benefit of the doubt, did they like give a threshold, like okay, a timeline for when, from what year to what year? Are they trying to digitize all data from 2019 or 2020 to 1960 when we gain independence, or when at what? what threshold did they give? Did they give any? In fact.
No, they didn't give a timeline.
It was not clear.
It was not clear.
Oh, like, what is asking is whether it's just this year's data or just last year's data or all time
data. That goes back to what the issue we were is. Like, maybe they didn't think it through. They just felt, let's just make this announcement and tell people we are really working. We are a digital economy.
But you know, so it doesn't look as if like we're bashing governments, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there have been initiatives in the past. Mm-hmm. I think in those states, in Edo states, there was an Edo State Open Data Initiative. Mm-hmm. And there was also a national Open Data Initiative, I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I just remember, I would have checked it before this, but it just came to mind right now. But I think that was created by some students from Federal University of Technology, but Edo State had some open data initiative, and also the National Bureau of Statistics has been doing some its little best in some ways. Its data surveys and all of that. I don't think enough is being done. I remember Emmanuel did a story about how open data can help innovation. All of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much innovation that can happen even more people have data. There's so much lack of data in Nigeria, in Africa as a whole.
Especially with deep tech
mind-blowing.
And AI.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be watching. Pay attention. Let's see what happens after 60. We need to do an update on that.
Beyond the timeline, what's more important is that this is done at all. At least.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we should start creating our own data now. Yeah. Yeah, so once we are creating our own data, and of course things like open data, open whatever can start working perfectly. So we have more open source platforms that people can build on. But of course, they should do it according to my
opinion. And the sooner we can start having very, very localized and built for Africa, really, really built for Africa innovation. Exactly. Not waiting for the West to come and develop for us or whatever. I mean, like the news that is happening now with Facebook. Facebook wants to build about 33,000 kilometers, right? 37,000 kilometers of fiber cable to serve Africa. 23 countries in Africa, Europe and the East. And they're going to spend like $1 billion on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
That's a lot.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
The question is, why is he doing it? Are they all altruistic or nice? Why are they doing it? That's the question that everybody's doing.
Ah, we know now, don't we?
We do? Imagine why are they doing it?
The more people are on the internet, the more people will be joining Facebook.
Exactly.
The more people will be joining. Facebook is not your label.
Many people,
Google
the internet is also Facebook or Google. Do you know that? There was a survey that was done like 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember the particular organization that did it, but they asked a number of Africans that were surveyed. They asked them, have you ever been on the internet? They said no. They asked them, have you used Google or Facebook? They said yes. So they didn't know that internet is Facebook or Google. So Google and Facebook know this. I mean, that's why even Google launched a Facebook shop, although it's in the US for now, because they want more small businesses to sell their Facebook, so that they hope that they will buy ads, because Facebook is an ad company. That's what they are. Mm. Google is an ad company. Forget whatever they say, whether they are search or social media, they are an ad company.
Wow.
So even for this now, Facebook trying to build 7,000 kilometers of internet cable that will serve Africa, Europe and Middle East. Because they want more people. There are many people who, the first time they get a smartphone is because they want to get on Facebook, they want to get on WhatsApp, they want to get on Instagram, which are all Facebook products.
Hmm.
So you can get more people online. And this is not the first time they're trying it, right? I think they did, in 2016, there was internet with all, there was Facebook, there was Free Basics, which was giving free, it's still around, it gives free access to Facebook. If you're on Airtel, it's launched with Airtel, it's also on 9 Mobile now.
Public Wi-Fi.
They also have express Wi-Fi. They also have express Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they even tried to launch an internet space station that will be beaming internet signals in Africa, but I don't know what happened. I think it crashed.
I remember that was around the time he visited Nigeria. On his way, when he was on his way to Kenya from Nigeria, that's when the news broke that the satellite crashed.
Wow.
I remember that.
When he left Nigeria. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I know the funny thing. So you look at a country like India, where India told Facebook, you don't need your free basics.
Wow.
Just chase them out of India. There's another product that I think even Google's free Wi-Fi, the one that has been discontinued in Nigeria, India rejected it, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
So, and that's because they have an ecosystem. They have a local ecosystem that can build solutions for themselves. We need to really build our local, like it's crazy.
So in a way this is looking like a what's it called, altruistic action. Yes, to the government, to Nigerians, or to those countries that this would benefit, but in a way it's actually benefiting the company, which is Facebook. And there are some things that I still might not be clear there, because that is the only reason we can point to. So if they have to do any other thing in the future, or implement any other thing, or suggest any other thing in the future, for the fact that they've done this thing in the past, maybe it will be like a foothold for them. And I think I reason with India for doing what they did, because they feel they are self-sustaining. They can sustain themselves, and that is what we can find in many African countries, including Nigeria. So bringing this to us, and yes, sometimes we fall behind in what is going on in the outside world. So doing this for us is like helping us to at least keep up to the pace. Not in a very, very large way, so to say. But they are trying to help us keep up the pace. So we are kind of grateful to them for but we don't know what is underlying. So, like Muyiwa said, really, really have to be self-dependent. We should build stuff like this for ourselves. We should see the future of what this will hold for us, the benefits it will bring for us. And that should be like the drive to go ahead with it.
Well, it's easier said than done. I wish I had the answer.
Looking at the amount of resources people are putting into this, I mean, the cable is so long. It's almost the circumference of the entire Earth is 40,000 kilometers. This cable is 7,000.
Oh, wow.
So they are spending.
Is it going to be the longest one?
It's not going to be the longest. There's one already that's the longest. 39,000
kilometers.
That's the longest in the world. And now Facebook is partnering with telecom companies from different countries to build this. So, but they are banking on the market in Africa that I'm not so sure is there currently. But let's keep our fingers crossed because we are banking on the market.
So they will partner with local, just the same way Google partnered with the local. ISPs
for
MTN, so Facebook, we partner with local Orange, Vodacom, China Mobile, Alcatel Submarine, the subsidiary of Nokia. Yeah, so they're in partnership with all those companies.
So they are doing this, they are banking on a continent that has a very, very long history of poverty.
If
you remember Titi's article about Nigeria's aggressive market on the internet, might actually be smaller than we think.
We are saying,
okay, people are going online, but the number of active users that are using that have used 5 MB in the last 90 days for MTN Nigeria is about 20 something million out of their 50 something million subscribers they have in Nigeria.
Oh, these are recent figures.
Yeah, according to MTN's Q1 report of 2020.
Q1 report, 2020.
Yeah. So all these things are in place. See, we have government that are restricting access to the internet. Like, remember when Uganda brought the social media tax, the number of people that are browsing in Uganda, they dropped drastically.
Affected the numbers. Yeah.
So the markets in Africa, I'm not so sure about it. I'm not so sure about the markets. So I think Wally was saying during one of our town halls, it's about 1.2 billion people. The market of 1.2 billion people, but it's in fragments. There are different places. So I don't know. But let's keep our fingers crossed.
But then that's where Facebook has an advantage now. They have a unified platform. Facebook is the platform. And that's why it's important for them. So whether it's fragmented or not for every other person, for Facebook is not fragmented.
Okay.
And then WhatsApp. Instagram. Facebook Messenger and Instagram, they are the same platform for anybody all over the world.
That's smart.
You can start to see it enabling African e-commerce and all of that. Anyway, they've not launched in Africa yet. Anyway, it will be interesting to see how things come out.
We have a lot of things to
follow. Yeah, Africa. We've talked about a lot of things today. In fact, I can't almost keep a boat. Guys that are listening, we'd like to hear what you think. Don't forget, you can always email us at podcast@techpoint.africa or you can tweet at us at techpoint.ng. That's techpoint.ng. Or use the hashtag techpointafricapodcast. We'd like to hear what you think. What do you think about everything? African government and their tendency restrictions. So the internet. Privacy concerns, Facebook bringing internet to Africa, trying again to bring internet to Africa. This is like the third time in 6 years or 7 years. The new Twitter feature that is going to really frustrate scrolls on Twitter or social media. What do you guys think? We'd like to hear from you. And again, please, we apologize if there's any false sound quality because we're not recording from our studio. We're all recording from different places in Lagos. In our homes right now.
I'm
locked in a very hot place because I don't want the sound of generators to ruin the sound quality. So yeah, we'll be here again next week, guys. Of course, if you're listening for the first time, Emmanuel, where can they get the podcast?
Okay, you can listen to this podcast on Stitcher, you can listen to it on SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and of course, if you're not in Nigeria, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
Yeah. Oh, Spotify reminds me, you know, two months back, I was talking about how Spotify is acquiring podcasts, and they've gone ahead to acquire one of my favorite ones.
Oh, yeah, Jiroga.
Starting like shows, they're going to be exclusive to Spotify.
Perfect, who you are.
Spotify is not available in Nigeria, officially.
Wow.
Unfortunate.
Wow.
But they don't care about the African or Nigerian market.
They don't.
So annoying. And they're going to keep buying more and more. Like, podcasting is going to become. Let's go. Nifemi, do you have any parting words?
Okay. All right. We are glad that you are still listening to us, and we hope that you keep holding on. And we are seeing sign maybe there will soon be asked that the economy is fully opened. So let's keep our hope alive, and let's see how this new week, the coming week, will be.
Yeah, that's good advice. And please don't be like we're not criticizing her, but don't be like the person who is going on social media shouting "stay at home" and then going around. Try and live a true life.
Yes,
be true to yourself. Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Catch you next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.